Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today I have Fagan Marks, who we featured in our Jewish Action for our spring edition in 2012. And she is a remarkable woman who wrote a very interesting article about her life in the IDF. It was called Haredi Woman or something like that. We'll find out exactly what it was called. The Courage to Serve, a Haredi Woman in the IDF. Fagan, how are you doing?
I'm good, Baruch Hashem. How are you?
That's great. Well, I read the article. It was really fascinating. And you talked about how you always wanted to serve in the IDF. Why was that?
It was my dream. I grew up as a little girl. We moved here. We made Aliyah. And I used to go to school with these two little soldiers in the elevator every day. And I just wanted to emulate them. It just became my dream. And as I grew older, it just... Everything that I saw from in the news and everything about Israel and what IDF soldiers represented, it became something I wanted to be a part of. It just protecting the land, the mitzvah it represented. I wanted to be a part of it. It became something special to me to be a part of it. It meant so much to me, and I remember a specific day when I went down with both of my neighbor's sons, and they walked me to the bus stop that one day, and I was like very emotional that day, and I just said one day I looked up at them, and I still remember the tags. One of them was wearing a Kfir tag, one of them was wearing a Golani tag. And I said, one day I'm going to be just like them, and I did it. Now, I was 8 years old at the time.
Well, that's unbelievable. But now the schools you went to, I mean, they didn't encourage you to do this, did they?
No. No school. Like, you know, I still remember, like, as a kid, I would talk to, like, people. I was like, one day I'm going to be a chayelet. And, my teachers would be, yeah, right, like, you're going to go to seminary, you're going to get married afterwards. There's no way you're doing such a thing. Like, it's not allowed. It's not accepted. It's not done in the firm world, and no one could believe it. I remember the last conversation I had, you know, with one of my closest teachers, and she said, there's no way you're doing it. We're going to kick you out of the community, get kicked out of school. When I came actually back to her, just when I moved back, and the principal saw that I had an Israeli passport, they're like, oh, my gosh, you're going to get drafted. It's going to be such a balagam. We're going to have to take you to draft office, and we're going to have to get you an exemption, and it's going to be such a big deal. And I said, well, I don't intend to get an exemption. I actually intend to go in. And she's like, but that's inappropriate. And I said, I don't care if it's inappropriate. This is my dream. This is what I'm going to do. And she's like, that's going to be a big problem. I was like, well, then this is not a school where I belong.
So what did you do? Did you go to, you went to a different school?
I actually, you know, I never finished high school, but, you know, I did end up leaving that school. But, you know, I actually came back like a few months later during the Army because I actually needed records from that school to prove something to the Army. And she saw me in Army uniform and she couldn't believe it. She was like, what in the world are you doing here? I was like, I just need a piece of paper. And she just couldn't believe that I was there in a full long skirt with a, you know, an Army uniform and everything. And she's like, well, I can't actually believe you did it and that you're still from. I was like, well, this is what I wanted to do. And I told you no one was going to stop me. So here I am. Can I just please have my piece of paper? And she did.
And I read the article. When I read the article, I was reading about, you were talking about how they, you asked for a skirt, and you said that they didn't even know what you were talking about because no one had ever done that before, right?
It's done, but I mean, usually it's not like so. It's not every usually done in the Bakum where I asked for it at the service station. It became like a really big deal because it's not like done every day. And I was being drafted with around like draft day is a big deal. They usually draft like in Yerushalayim, Tel Aviv, and then we all come to like one place, and then you end up with like 3,000 girls. So I was drafted with a group of like 800 girls, and everyone's being handed pants. You know, everyone just needs pants, and they're doing an Air Force round, and I come and I ask for a skirt, and the guy's like, well, all I have is pants. I don't have skirts. I'm like, well, I need then like a senior officer or something, and like, well, we don't have one. Well, I'm like, I don't care. I'm not going on it. I'm not getting anything. So finally someone's like, fine, I found you a skirt, and it's like the short mini skirt. And I was like, well, this is not what I need. I want a four-length skirt. It's my right to that. And they do have rights for such things in the Army. And I start screaming match with one of the officers, no. And so finally some officer went to a storage room after like an hour to get me one, and it wasn't even the right size. And then like after like 2 hours of like fighting, I finally was able to get a skirt. And even then, so like I held up a whole bunch of like girls, like hundreds of thousands of girls, just to like get a skirt.
Wow. Unbelievable. Now, what about your parents? I mean, were they, where do your parents come from, by the way, in the States?
Yeah, my parents are both from the States.
Uh-huh. So how old were you when you made Aliyah?
My parents, we made Aliyah originally, like, in 96, and then, you know, after a few years in Israel, we left, and then we came back to Israel. When I first wanted to go into the Army, my parents were not supportive of it at all. I got my draft letter, my father was like, go straight to the Rabbanut. That was how my father looked at me. He's like, there's no way you're going in, and boys, and there's no way you're doing this at all. My parents were not supportive of it.
The article says a Haredi woman, but, you know, I never understood what Haredi means. I'm not sure exactly the term. So how do you describe yourself or your family? Are you Haredi? What is a Haredi? What does that mean?
I think a Haredi woman means, like, to me personally, I take myself as Haredi. Someone who comes from, like, the black hat world, or I mean considers themselves Shomer Torah and Mitzvot and Shabbos. I live in the community. I've always come from the like black hat world. I've always associated myself from it. Like a person comes like a community like Lakewood or black pants, white shirt. And I know it might sound rude to like a lot of people, but that's the community I've always like grown up in. So like it's not that like I God forbid hate the modern Orthodox or I don't have family like that, because I do have a lot of family like that. But it's just that I really, like, my father wears a black hat, black pants, white shirt, and that's the community I've always associated myself with, even though, like, I'm kind of a bit more on the modern side of that. And because, you know, I'm not the type of girl that's going to go live in Bnei Brak or, you know, live in Mea Shearim. But, you know, because I do live in the black hat world, I do take the stance of a lot of things from the black hat world. And there's just things that, you know, black hat girls aren't going to go do. You know, the girls are going to go sit in seminary. And
right.
I'm not the type of girl that's going to go sit. I wasn't the type of girl that was expected. I was the type of girl that was expected to go sit in seminary. And for me, as a Haredi girl, you know, even for modern Orthodox girls, they're expected to go sit in seminary. They're from girls. And for me, that isn't... I went out of the norm. I went out of the box.
Okay, so let me ask you a few questions about that. First of all, were you surprised that by the level of knowledge of some of the people you met? Because you said in the article, which is a good point, that, you know, some people go into the Army, even if they have their own units, they're still together, you know, Nachal Haredi, et cetera, you know. And what's the other one called? Shachar Kochal?
Shachar Kochal.
And what is that unit, by the way? I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. What is that?
It's an Air Force program for, like, Kolo guys or non-Kolo guys that teaches them, like, to be Air Force technicians and things like that. And they will pay them, like, 5,000 to 7,000 shekels a month or more. And you have to sign on to the Army afterwards for, like, a year up to 7 years, and they will pay you a kavua salary afterwards, and you do 3 years Army service plus, you know, the signed on service afterwards. So it gets you into the Army, plus you get a skill set like learning how to be a plane technician, a helicopter technician, and job skills that will help you get into the world. They give you a lot of like Army rights, so like, you know, kosher food, learning time.
Right.
It's not like you're not a fighter soldier. So
right.
It's like you're more of a jobnik.
So but now the thing is that you were actually in with the masses. So what was it surprising? Did you think people knew so little or so much, or what were your reactions?
It depends. It really depends where you go. I was on bases where people really knew so little, and I was on bases where people knew really a lot. It depends. It really depends where you go. I mean, I met people who knew a lot about Yiddishkeit, and I met people who knew a lot, very little, and I met people who knew everything in between. So I think it depends where you go and who you meet and who's been around the block, so to speak. On my base personally, like, there were a lot of Shachar Kachol guys, and the commanders, like, all had to have experience in that, and we had, like, a really good base Rav, and that was managing everything. Though when I went to, like, green, so to speak, green bases, Chel Yarok bases, where, you know, there weren't any Netzach Yehuda guys or Shachar Kachol guys or not any religious soldiers at all, there was very little known thing about, like, Yiddishkeit or what army rules are, and if you weren't dealing with the army Rabbanu, there was, like, nothing known, and you were just dealing with regular Israelis who were non-religious, and they were dealing with their basic non-religious knowledge.
No, I mean, there are a lot of people that talk about the army and what goes on, and therefore young ladies should not go into the army after having served. Are they right or are they wrong?
Good question. I could say they're right and they're wrong. It depends what perspective you take on it. There's a lot of things that I dealt with that, as a from girl, that you could say a lot of other from girls don't want to have to deal with. I dealt with, like, girls getting pregnant. I dealt with, you know, boys. I don't know if every, let's say, a girl in seminary, like my typical friends who are in seminary right now, want to be able to deal with that. You know, I went and bought my friends pregnancy tests. I went and took them to social workers. I went and dealt with, you know, my friends who were acting crazy to try and get out of the army because they couldn't handle it, or they didn't want to handle it and didn't want to deal with it. They just wanted to live. They wanted to be in civilian life because they didn't want to do 2-3 years of service. I dealt with friends who were just nutso and crazy. And there's stuff that is really crazy in the army and that is just shtus, and that's typical life. And there's things that aren't shtus. They're army, and you have to learn how to deal with them. So I think that the question remains, as a person, can you handle that stuff in the middle?
So it's an individual situation, not for someone.
It's an individual situation. As from girls, should from girls in general do the army? I retain the answer, not every from girl should do the army. I think, though, that, like, there's a lot of from girls out there who are kind of like kids at risk, and that I think it would be a great benefit for them, actually, to do the army. It would take them off, like, the streets, and it would give them a chance to do something positive and feel positive about themselves and feel good and do something productive and get somewhere in life.
So what happened? So you finished the army. So what happened when you finished? What was the next stage, and were you accepted, let's say, by your friends, your family, the school you went to? Were you rejected? You know, so what's the post-army
experience? I was
going
to say, my family, I was accepted. I mean, my parents, at the beginning, so to speak, of my service, you could say my father had a great dilemma on his hands. How was he going to deal with it? And he wrote a beautiful article, like, during, for his blog about his Are You Proud of Me? And it was a really touching article he wrote me. How he did, because, like, in Israeli society, you know, it's a very special thing, and I did feel like that during my service in my community and whatever, I did become, like, really accepted and home during my community. I wasn't, like, rejected. It did become a surprise to, like, a lot of people, oh, you're in the army. Like, you know, there were certain people and friends of mine that kind of looked at me in, like, sideways glance, and I kind of became, like, a freak in a certain way. But I don't think any of my friends really, like, completely rejected me. There were friends who gave me warnings and kind of friends who took a sideways stance and backed themselves away because, like, who knew if I was going to go off of Yiddishkeit. When I came back to the from community, I personally kind of felt like not completely back in, because I never really felt that I completely fit in a certain way. I never, when I went to school, I was kind of always on the sides, and even before I went into the Army, I was not really part, so to speak, completely part of it. So when I finished and now that I'm back in it, it's not that they're rejecting me, God forbid. I'm just not, like, completely at home. And in the Army, I felt more at home than I actually am here because, like, you all become, like, one chabura.
Right. Now, I know that a big issue is always the shidduch. And that kind of like is the magic bullet that kind of keeps everybody in line. So I presume you're at that age where you're going out and looking to meet the right person. So has your Army career affected you because of that? Positive, negative?
I can't completely say it has or it hasn't. I don't think it has personally. I think it's actually, like, it's worked to my benefit. I think that when I made the decision to go into the Army, I chose to close some doors and open new ones. And if people can't accept me for that decision, then I can just look at them and say goodbye because I chose to do something I wanted to do, and someone has to be able to respect me for my decision for doing that and my decision to protect my country and standing in line and saying hello. It's a wonderful thing. If another person can't look and say, wow, that was a brilliant or wonderful thing, or even just can't say, okay, I don't want you doing that in the future, but or whatever, but I don't think it's appropriate, but I respect what you did. But I don't know. Okay. I can't give you the people I've gone out with.
Okay, now I was thinking about that when I was reading the article. I was thinking about, so what happens, you know, like next? Well, what are you doing now that you've left the Army? What are you doing?
I'm kind of working. I haven't really found a job. Most, you know, I've had, like, a hard time finding a job. Most people, you know, most of us soldiers, we get a job. We like to travel, as most people know. I really would like to travel to Asia.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay. And when are you going to do that?
When I have the money.
Okay.
Yeah, really
okay. Go
travel around.
So let me ask you one final question. This is a political kind of question, but there's no question that today in Israel, one of the hottest issues, most important issues, you see it now forming a coalition, going on in the government, is really Haredim in the Army, drafting them. What numbers, what happened? So what are your thoughts about that?
Wow, Tal Law, really. Good question. It really is one of the hottest issues around, and is a big, important issue. I think that the Army has, it goes both ways. On one hand, like, I really want Haredim to go into the Army, and on one hand, I really don't. Because I've been, so to speak, I've been there, done that, and I understand how things work in the inside, and I don't. The Army has a very feminist way of doing things. It has a very feminist culture, and I think that could cause a problem for a lot of the Haredi men going in. And I don't think, on one hand, that the Army really wants it from men going in. So I think that, you know, one hand, it'd maybe be better for the firm guys to sit and learn. On the other hand, like, I really don't think it's productive for them to sit and learn. They need to go out and do something. What they should really be doing, I really don't know. Like, you know, I'm not in support of a guy sitting and learning all day because I don't really think that the firm world needs, you know, 20,000 people. I don't think every bachur can sit
right.
and learn.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that, you know, not every guy fits the Army. I have a very close friend, and he decided it wasn't right for him to sit and learn anymore, and he tried to go in, but they just drove him completely nuts, and he couldn't do it anymore. He's like,
right.
After going sitting with them five times, they drove me enough. I'm not going in. I'm from unit or not, I'm just not going in. I'm walking away. And he did. And I think that the government just doesn't know how to manage it. If they wanted to create more firm units, they would. And for girls or boys, I didn't go into a firm unit. I did it all alone. And for any person, it's a challenging issue.
That was a difficult thing. So it sounds to me like if we could find a way of accommodating people's needs, not throwing them into the masses, but giving them units which will respect their religious beliefs, and then they can serve and they can be very productive, whether it's Nahal Haredi.
But I don't think the Army wants to do that. I think the Army doesn't want to take the time because I think the Army, I believe it takes, and I know it takes money, it takes time, it takes taking a person like me and training them, and you know how to only deal with girls and only gender segregated bases and things like that. And the Army is more concerned that people like me, you know, won't be serving in 20, 30 years. So, I mean, if the Army is only concerned about things like that, then of course the Haredim won't conserve. If they would be more concerned about making units so the Haredim would come serve and be willing to change their culture, and I do believe the Haredim would be like, hey, you know what, we've got, you know, at 23 years old, the Bachor would say, hey, I'm maybe married, I've got one or two kids, I need the parnasa, and then I get all the benefits of afterwards, I get to go to college, and I get all the wonderful benefits of after the Army that the government gives. I'd be more than happy to sign, do my 3 years of service. It'd be wonderful for me.
Okay, look, let's hope that happens. But anyway, listen, congratulations to you. And
thank you.
Very courageous young woman. I hope that the rest of your life turns out to be interesting and fun, enjoyable, and you know, you serve the Jewish people. I'm sure you will. And the Sega Marks, anyone who has not seen the article, you should read it in the Jewish Action, and you could see it online. And it's called The Courage to Serve, a Haredi Woman in the IDF. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.